Hello there. You're listening to The Box Office Show. I'm Ryan Hill.
And I'm Dylan Johnson. Today we're going to be talking about the box office numbers from last weekend and our box office predictions for this upcoming weekend.
We'll also be discussing the latest clash between Godzilla and Kong in the newest MonsterVerse film, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
And after that, I'll be joined by one of our best friends and noted Godzilla enthusiast Ezra Prather to hear his thoughts on the whole MonsterVerse.
Starting out with some news, Disney's 2026 slate is being locked in. Mandalorian and Grogu is May 2026, kicking off the summer season.
Bad name. Don't like the name.
It's a two character.
It should have just been Mandalorian with a subtitle.
What do you mean? Mandalorian subtitle Grogu?
No, like it should have been Mandalorian and then a separate subtitle. That way it's... I just don't like going from Mandalorian to Mandalorian and Grogu.
That's true. It is odd.
It just sounds a little clunky.
Most people know him as Baby Yoda, not Grogu.
Exactly. Exactly.
And also, is he even a real character yet? I mean, he just sort of sits there and looks cute. So I don't know why they need to put him in like the title of it. Should have just called it be Mandalorian something else.
Mandalorian, and then like a little subtitle to go along with Mandalorian. That way we know it's a separate entity from the show. And then also coming out in June 2026 is Toy Story 5, which... Once again, let's see if they can pull it off. They did it twice. Twice they gave us an ending that worked well. Do you think they can do it a third time?
I don't think so, but we will see. We've been proven
wrong. That's
what
we said about Toy Story 4.
I know.
And they did it.
But then they did that perfectly. So it's like, why are they testing it yet again to see if they can just...
I love it. I love pushing the edge.
Trying to prove if they can, just make a yet another...
I would just be so impressed. I would be so impressed if they could do it.
Yeah. And then Moana, the live action film. Not the sequel, is coming out July 2026. Dylan, I read this. I was like looking at the slate in my car. Mm-hmm. I literally yelled no when I saw Moana 2026 because I thought they delayed the sequel. And I was like,
that's so funny.
Not Dune Part 2. But then thankfully, I'm like, oh, live action. Okay, thank God. But I was like, no shot. And then 2 years too, I was like, no freaking way.
I wish I had been in your car to hear you scream.
But Moana 2, the sequel, the animated sequel, is still hopefully coming out this year, November. But the live action, 2026, all of that in the summer. Disney's trying to go big. They're also, I think, Avengers 5 is supposed to be 2026. But again, doesn't seem like that's happening. But
yeah, that's rough. And another announcement, Freaky Friday 2 with Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis both returning has been announced. They have to give Lindsay Lohan a daughter and then the three of them switch. That's what it has to be.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That
the
would be
only
crazy.
Way. And then that would be crazy. Could you imagine the daughter, like an 18-year-old daughter getting put into Jamie Lee Curtis's grandma body?
It would be so much fun. I'm glad.
Could you imagine seeing Jamie Lee Curtis play that? Once again, playing like a 16-year-old, but now that she's much older. Jamie Lee Curtis's second acting Oscar.
It would be hilarious. But they'd have to do, it'd have to go... It couldn't be Jamie Lee Curtis and then the young daughter switching. They'd have to do at least a three-way swap. Because otherwise, I guess they could. I mean, I don't know. Lindsay Lohan could be trying to navigate that of her daughter and then her mother being completely swapped. It'd be interesting. But yeah, they finally got both of them signed on board. I don't know anything else is happening with it, but it's in the works. So we'll see how that goes. Another film that's in the works, Matrix 5. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm not on board.
Drew Goddard, who did Cabin in the Woods, he'll be helming this. Lana Wachowski will be producing, but this will be the first time that neither Wachowski sister is going to be involved, at least with like the writing or directing. Again, they capped it off with Matrix 4. Wasn't good.
Yeah.
And now they're bringing it back for Matrix 5. So I don't know. We'll see if Drew Goddard apparently had an idea. He pitched it to Warner Brothers. They liked it. I guess Lana also liked it. So maybe that'll be a nice rejuvenation, fresh eyes in there. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like
we'll have to see.
Many people want to continue with the Matrix franchise. But
yeah,
we're getting another one.
We're getting another one. And exciting news, exciting especially for you, Ryan. Dune Messiah has been officially greenlit in development and announced with, I'm assuming, Denis Villeneuve attached.
Of course.
We got Dune Part 3 going, baby. Are you excited?
I am extremely excited. It seems still like there's going to be, Villeneuve's going to go do another film, some other book adaptation.
As he should. Sci-fi book adaptation. Take some time off.
And then he'll come back to it, which makes sense because there is a time skip and everything. So I think, yeah, get a breather from it, get some distance, let some time pass, and then come back and cap off an epic trilogy. That would be fantastic. Now, absolutely, moving into the box office breakdown for March 28th to the 31st, Godzilla X Kong, which apparently is supposed to be just called Godzilla Kong. X is silent. So stupid. Just call it Godzilla and Kong. I don't know why they did that. But regardless of the title, it dominated the weekend. $80 million. That's what I'm talking about. Almost good matched numbers, good Dune numbers. Part 2's opening. That still takes a crown for biggest opening of the year so far. But
good for you, Ryan.
A massive performance. A kaiju-sized performance.
You got a hit. Good for you. I'm very, very happy for you. Following that was Ghostbusters The Frozen Empire with $15 million. That's a 65% drop, which is kind of steep.
It is, yeah. It had a good opening, but yeah, that drop is not great for its long-term prospects, yeah, or for a sequel for that. But Dune Part 2, as we just said, its performance got itself a sequel, $11 million, bringing its domestic total to $250 million. Fantastic performance.
Absolutely. And following closely behind was Kung Fu Panda 4 with $10 million over the weekend, bringing its domestic total to $151 million. Also, very, very strong.
Mm-hmm. Immaculate, led by Sydney Sweeney, with $3.2 million.
Arthur the King, the Mark Wahlberg dog movie, made $2.4
million. Late Night with the Devil, $2.1 million.
Which I saw was actually showing at the Enzion, which is our local art house theater in Central Florida, which I thought was really cool. I didn't. I just saw that it was playing there. After that was Tulu Square with $1.8 million.
Crew, $1.5 million.
And Imaginary, the Blumhouse imaginary horror movie with $1.3 million.
Indeed. Box office predictions for April 5th to the 7th. Monkey Man is coming out. So the Dev Patel actioner, also his directorial debut. What do you think this will get?
I'm feeling like $25, $30
million. Really?
Around there. I think it will do decent numbers, but I don't think it's going to do anything crazy. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an action movie. I think it's getting quite a bit of press right now. I think
it's getting a lot of praise. Yeah, people are liking it. I don't know that it'll get.
I'm going to check it out.
Anywhere near that amount, though. I was saying Beekeeper got $16 million early in the year. I think this will fall under that.
You think it will do less than Jason Statham? I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think so.
We will see. I mean, I'm rooting for Dev Patel. I hope it does well. But, I mean, yeah, that would be a massive debut if it got $25-30 million. I feel like Jason Statham was, I mean, he's an established entity, so people would be more likely to go to that. But we'll see. He's also got a lot of competition. I mean, Godzilla versus Kong is going to be, you know, number one next weekend. So
that's fair. Yeah, I would agree.
We'll see with that. All right, going into our MonsterVerse discussion, I revisited some of the MonsterVerse films. Dylan, did you have any time to go back and rewatch any of them?
I did not, unfortunately, but you can give me the recap.
So, Godzilla 2014, I think in our earlier episode, because we did an episode on Godzilla versus Kong when it came out back in 2021.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And I think it said then that I had not yet revisited these past films, but my favorite was Godzilla 2014. I'm happy to report that is still the case.
All right.
It holds up. It is good. Gareth Edwards, he had the vision, man. Mm-hmm. He had the sauce. He knows how to use scale. We sort of talked about this with the creator, but his sense of scale is amazing. The way he's able to create, like, for lack of a better term, epic compositions, like making you feel the awe and you feel the presence of these larger than life creatures and monsters on screen. He's got that down pat. I will say, it still breaks my heart that Bryan Cranston was killed off so early in the film.
Yeah. It's tragic.
It was truly my, like the Drew Barrymore in Scream. Like this was that for me. Because once he was taken out, I think we were left with a roster of characters that were not very interesting or compelling, which is a shame because, I mean, there's a good cast still left over. I mean, Aaron Taylor Johnson, we know he does have acting chops, but it was just such a bland character that I feel like had they kept Bryan Cranston alive, if they had to be like a father-son story of them reconnecting as they go through and try and chase Godzilla and get back to San Francisco and save Aaron Taylor Johnson's family and his kid. I felt that would have been much more compelling for the character side of it. So that's definitely the weakest link. Like there's a, there's definitely a reputation with the MonsterVerse films that the human characters are just bad and bland. It started here and for good reason. But all the monster stuff.
Oh, dude, the shots of them parachuting around Godzilla with like the red smoke. Oh,
and that stuff is amazing. Again, like, yeah, his compositional work, just coming up with those ideas is phenomenal. And then I think because he's directing the next Jurassic World film, they could not have picked a better person. Because
absolutely,
like, rewatching this, seeing that, he just has a way with building up suspense, allowing you to feel, again, like the restraint of not showing Godzilla so often. Again, that was a big criticism of the film back in the day, but I think it was unwarranted because it gives it so much more power. Again, seeing Godzilla in that film was a treat. Seeing Godzilla in any of these like recent films, it's just like, okay, any other frame in the film. And he was definitely a student of the first Jurassic Park because Godzilla comes in around the midpoint, just like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. And then we had talked about this in our, I think, Jurassic World episode and our Jurassic Universe pitch episode. But the kids are such an important part of the Jurassic films and that like initial Jurassic Park film. There's two separate sequences in Godzilla 2014 where we just start focusing on a specific kid that either Aaron Taylor Johnson is trying to save or some other random family is like trying to save. So he like roots us in the perspective of these people that are witnessing these crazy disasters taking place. And so that also, I think, gives me confidence that this next Jurassic film might actually be really worthwhile.
Even though I think
it won't be our pitch for Jurassic Universe.
It won't be in space, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think Gareth Edwards, along with Matt Reeves, is one of the few directors working today that I think is really, really good at combining CGI effects into practical filmmaking and making it look incredible. And of course, you've talked about the creator at great length. So I think Gareth Edwards is at the top of his field in that regard. So I think he's a very, very good fit for the Jurassic Park universe. And I think Godzilla is a great example of that, as well as Rogue One and the creator. So very much looking forward to his version of the Jurassic universe, whatever that's going to be.
Absolutely. You bring up the, like using the CGI elements, the VFX. It was interesting being able to see the notable decline in CGI quality across.
It's crazy, right?
Despite the fact, again, we're 10 years on from the first film in this.
That was
by far the best. And it's partially because, you know, they had less monsters on screen. You know, the percentage of monster for the overall film is definitely.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose your battles.
But that's what he did. Like, he was able to use that for story purposes. So, again, there's more weight to when we see them, but also he knows exactly when he needs to have a kaiju or a monster or Godzilla on screen.
Yeah.
So we can put more effort into those particular moments rather than spreading ourselves thin across the entire film. So yeah, that was interesting to watch. But yeah, Godzilla, the original one, great. Fantastic. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Kong Skull Island.
This is my favorite.
This is your favorite.
This is my favorite.
I had a lot of fond memories of it. However, I will say, revisiting it, not quite as good as I remember.
Really? Sam Jackson, bro.
He's great. He's great in it. And I love his character in it. I do still like the overall aesthetic because they basically just rip off Apocalypse Now. And then they also rip off a bunch of other like Vietnam War films.
It's great too.
Needle drops in the film though.
Oh my God.
It was a little much at a certain point. I was like, every other scene, they start off with just another needle drop. And I'm like, okay, don't need to do it every time. But I still, overall, I think it gives it a different flavor to all these other MonsterVerse films. So it's great for that reason. But other than like Sam Jackson, there actually were a lot of compelling concepts to the characters, but they just stuffed way too many in here.
No, so dude, I love them. I love them so much.
It was hard to connect with all the like literally dozen characters that we had in here.
I think they're captivating. I think Sam Jackson is a captivating character. I think Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson are a captivating duo to lead the movie. I think John C. Reilly being that the World War II pilot who was friends with the Japanese suicide bomber that where they both landed way, way long ago. I think he's very captivating. I thoroughly enjoy the character work in this movie significantly more than any other of these movies. 100%. I think they do the best work with the characters in Kong Skull Island, and that's why I think it's my favorite. That, as well as the aesthetic ripoffs, I just enjoy. I think
it is good. I mean, I do like
it. It's 100% a ripoff of just Vietnam War movies, but they lean into it so heavily that it works really, really well. And I still think the best moment in any of these monster movies that I think is the coolest is when they're flying the helicopters into Skull Island for the first time and they see the tree coming through the sun and the tree just rips through the helicopter. It's a
fantastic
so cool.
shot.
It's it so is, cool.
It's the one that, yeah, has always been burned in my brain. That's your thing too, which I've mentioned this plenty of times. The Godzilla trailer, that initial one, was amazing. Burned in my brain is one of the best trailers ever. The Kong Skull Island trailer was also phenomenal.
Yeah,
like, it the was. Way they crafted them in the beginning. And that was like the shot of like, oh, it's like them just flying by and the choppers are like chilling. You got the 70s music in the background. And then that's the turn is when the tree trunk slams through the helicopter.
And it's so cool.
Such a great shift in tone at that moment. So it holds up for that particular shot. It was great. There are a few other ones that are amazing too. Like all the like silhouettes of the choppers and Kong in the background. That's great.
There's a lot overall. Of pretty, like a lot of good looking filmmaking throughout the whole movie. If you ask me, I think it looks fantastic. I think a lot of the scenes that I remember in the middle of the woods, there's the scene where what's his name dies, the soldier they're looking for. I can't remember the actor, but he gets killed.
Son's name, because the whole gimmick they do of like, Dear Billy, that annoyed me on this.
Annoying. That's not great. But, the scene where he dies, I thought was shot beautifully, if I remember correctly. I think the whole scene where they're running from, what are they called? The skinwalkers? The
skin Skull crawlers? Crawlers.
Skull crawlers.
Skinwalkers. You just came up with another horror idea, though, right there. That's great.
Well, skinwalkers is already a thing.
Oh, well.
Sorry. But skull crawlers, which is also great. Yeah, the skull crawlers, I think the scene where they're running through the, what is it, like a desert thing with the gas masks on?
Yeah.
That looks great.
Mm-hmm. It does. The one scene, though, where they have Tom Hiddleston put on a gas mask and he's just like slicing through the pterodactyl things with a sword. Again, like cool in concept. It really does. Cool. There's something slightly off about it compared to the rest of it, which didn't look that great. But cool to just see him go through and slice down a bunch of pterodactyls. It was also completely unnecessary. Like they have him run towards it, towards like, you know, whatever the gas is that's coming up. So he gets a gas mask, puts it on, starts slicing through. He takes it off while he's still in like the gas. Like you can still see the green sort of gas coming up. So yeah, it wasn't even effective. They were just like, this will be a cool shot. And it was.
Well, what if he put it on and he's just breathing and he's like, this thing's not working, and he takes it off. That's a very human thing to do.
Yeah.
And then
you'd be wondering why he's not getting like fried.
When Sam Jackson blows up, he blows up the field, right? To kill Kong, and there's fire all around him. Am I remembering correctly? So cool. He looks great.
That was cool.
That
was one compelling element, was him like wanting to just kill Kong, and then everyone else was sort of having to be like, hey, let's halt there. So they have that standoff where he wants to blow up Kong and everyone else wants him to not do that. Would have liked that more, again, if we just had more character work between the rest of them. But it was decent. It was a good time. Godzilla versus Kong, which we talked about, you know, back in 2021. What'd you say?
Terrible.
That's crazy. I think you need to go back and rewatch and revisit your opinion. Godzilla versus Kong will compare with the new film, Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire.
You're right. It's better than the one we just watched. And we'll get there. But Godzilla versus Kong, of the Godzilla... So there's King of Monsters, which is, I think, the worst.
Yeah, which I skipped, by the way. I did not want to rewatch that. So I was like, let me pass.
I think King of Monsters is arguably the worst of these five movies.
I think, yes.
And then The New Empire is the second worst. And then Godzilla vs. Kong. But I still don't like it. The biggest draw that Godzilla vs. Kong has is the last 20 minutes. That fight sequence is very good. The brief bit where Kong is strapped on the boat and then Godzilla attacks the boat and they have the sort of fight, whatever. That's kind of cool. And then the music. And that's it.
Gotcha. So Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. I hate this film.
It's so bad. It's really bad.
And here's what's crazy. Because I watched Godzilla versus Kong 2 days before.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that film. I think that's a crazy lot of fun. I think it holds up. The New Empire.
Terrible.
Truly hated it.
Better or worse than King of Monsters?
Not enjoying it.
You didn't rewatch King of Monsters, but from what you recall.
I did not rewatch it. I would definitely want to rewatch King of Monsters before I'd want to rewatch this.
You think so? Because yes. I remember hating King of Monsters.
I think so too, but at least, actually, again, I don't know any positives in there, except other than there's like some cool imagery with like, I don't know, Rodan waking up by the volcano and like Mothra's awakening and stuff like that. This one,
it's just straight setup and then 30 minutes of fallout. It's yes, set up for like an hour and a half.
Like terribly done. So yeah. Spoiler warning, we're going to go into, again, we're going to speed run basically some of the talking points here because, I mean, there's not much worth discussing. It's either like you go into it accepting the dumb fun because, again, at this point they know they're that it's dumb,
but it's hoping not that fun.
It can make you fun. But that's the part. Yeah, it wasn't
it's the worst part
at all.
Because we can say Godzilla versus Kong is also a pretty poorly written movie.
Yes,
but it has fun elements to it, and then to the action sequences as well. There is no fun in any of this movie. It's just straight boring.
100%. So that's why, like, I'm curious to know why it worked so much better in Godzilla versus Kong. I think part of it is because it is building up between Godzilla and Kong, these two
foes meeting. Yeah.
This one, they're really separate for the most part. And then even again, the way they try to like put them together, where Kong is like trying to call Godzilla down to like help him out, but then they fight by the pyramids for a bit. Like again, that was just sort of shoehorned in there because they know we want to see them.
Barely in the movie, we barely see Godzilla. It's mostly Kong, and that's I think the biggest weakest point.
I mean, Godzilla versus Kong also had much more of a focus on Kong. But I think they were able to, again, allow Godzilla to fit that, like, villain role more. So you, whenever they would meet up, again, you know Godzilla is, like, the bigger threat, and you're more connected with Kong, and the characters you're following are more connected with Kong. So I think that, like, one-on-one, it's mostly set up as a one-on-one. In this one, we know at this point that they're not going to be, like, the final fight against each other. So then it's Kong is having to travel around his world, fight, like find a new foe, basically. Whereas Godzilla is just running around, sucking up all the atomic energy for some reason that we think will get explained later. But then they also didn't even, if the whole point of him doing that was because he knew there was some threat from way down below in Hollow Earth, why did he immediately attack Kong on sight when he came back up to the surface world? Shouldn't Godzilla have already been trying to get down to the bottom to unleash all this stored up energy against the enemy that he sensed was coming? Again, it's like it's stupid in both of these films, but it's like to a new level of stupid.
It's just so much exposition.
This one, yeah,
every bit of it's an hour and a half of exposition, and every bit of exposition raises five more questions that never get answered.
Exactly.
Because there's so many plot holes.
Exactly. It is just not fun. The characters, too. So that was the thing. They had, in Godzilla versus Kong, so we had Rebecca Hall and then the adopted daughter, whose name is Gia. That one, I think, worked a lot better in Godzilla versus Kong. And this one, they still try and have that as like the emotional core and the connection with Kong, but it wasn't even as prominent. But the benefit of Godzilla versus Kong, they also had Alexander Skarsgård in there, who's great. We love him.
He is great.
And then they had, so that was like one batch of human characters. And then they had another batch of human characters that they could at least go to, which was Brian Tyree Henry, Millie Bobby Brown, and then some New Zealand kid. I don't know the actor's name. But
from Hunt of the Wild People. What are people? From Deadpool 2. Come on. What's his name?
What's his name? Yeah, I don't know.
Fuck. I'm going to look it up to give him credit because he deserves credit.
Yeah. But he was enjoyable in that film. And so was Brian Tyree Henry. He was, I thought all the comedic beats that he had in there.
Julian Dennison.
There you go.
His name is Julian Dennison.
Props to him because he was good. He was. I missed him in this film. And I miss the banter that at least him, Millie Bobby Brown, and Brian Tyree Henry had in that Godzilla vs. Kong. Because in this film, I was so annoyed with Brian Tyree Henry. It was not working at all. And it's the same like basic premise of the character, but I don't know.
He's just cranked up to an 11 of insanely crazy and very cowardly and no redeeming moment for him.
Exactly. It was just grating. Like it wasn't fun.
He was supposed to be like comic relief everybody was a caricature of a character, and he was the comic relief caricature, and it was done so poorly that of course I'm not going to laugh.
Which is why, but in Godzilla versus Kong, it was like it was working. Some things he was doing there was great. This one, yeah, it didn't work. Trapper,
dude, talk about a caricature. Holy shit.
An insane character. Dude, it was...
He's Tom Hiddleston's character from Kong Skull Island, just all the way up to an 11, with a little bit of Magnum P.I. in there. And
Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura. Just every single possible fucking adventure hero guy.
And it did not... One. It did not work at all. It wasn't believable.
He has no development. Charming. He does nothing.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be... I mean, he's charming, I guess, but he's just... I wish they had dialed it up even more to make him more ridiculous at a certain point. Because like, if you're not going to give him any development, just make him be ridiculous. Or make him be like a twist villain or something. I don't know. He just did nothing. Except at the very end, he brings in the fist and then he brings in the creatures.
Right. Yeah. It was not...
He's still more useful than Brian Tyree Henry, I guess.
It did not click. That's true. But yeah, the whole... And that was like our narrow group of human characters this time around. And again, none of them were interesting. So bummer. That was tough. That was very tough. Super also, tough. I couldn't believe that they did it. But we went to Hollow Earth and Godzilla versus Kong, which, by the way, and I said there, I thought that was a great like moment when we go through, because they built it up well, and then we go through the portal, and then they get this nice 2001 sort of sequence in there, and then they break through the threshold, and then we see Kong just exploring this new crazy world that we've never seen before, where everything's like upside down and topsy-turvy. And mirrored, and I was like, okay, I like this. This works well. We're getting that like exploration phase. How are they going to up the ante here? And they do it by going to Hollower Earth.
It gets deeper, we went baby. Deeper. You keep going, baby.
I couldn't believe it. Woo! It's not enough that again, Hollow Earth. You would assume is all, you know, the size of Earth as well, at least.
It's just all of this takes place on Earth. There is no space creatures in this series for whatever reason, so they're all on Earth.
Yeah,
so
it's all just keep deep, getting deeper. Deep Earth creatures. But next movie, they gotta go so even deeper. We're gonna go to the core, like literally the center of the Earth. Like how?
And that's where the big bad is. And then he has to fight the next creature, which comes from space. Space dinosaurs.
They're gonna do that. I mean,
it's like universe.
The path of like the old Godzilla films. I mean, they definitely hit up the aliens. So can't wait for that to come about. But then. Talk about going into like jumping the shark with all the sci-fi stuff. Now we have telepathic humans.
I hated it.
Living deep in the Earth, hollower Earth. And they also are the for thousands of years holding the same exact culture as what Gia and the Iwi tribe on Skull Island were doing. It. So amazing that they can like just fit right back into each other. The only difference being they don't speak. They just telepathically communicate. Absurd. Absurd.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah. So again, it's like...
God.
So. Stupidity was present in Godzilla versus Kong. A lot of they literally did something similar, but they were like, oh, we can control Mechagodzilla by powering it up from a psionic link from the skull of Ghidorah or something to that effect. Very stupid. But they just have Brian Tyree Henry say that once. We get to see like these weird tubes that are like illuminated, like the LED illumination thing. Mm-hmm. He had even said it looks like we're in the DJ booth here of a club. He just says that. We see that. And then we move on. We're like, okay, whatever. It's harder to like just move on from that when we had an extended like 12-minute sequence of them doing some sort of ceremony. And all it is them staring at each other and like
explaining and explaining and explaining
and that over and over.
And,
yeah.
And it gets worse because you're like, you're not making it better. You're making it even more confusing.
And then you keep doing new things every time, like the whole gravity thing of
they're reading the wall. And she's like, only a daughter of the Iwi tribe from Skull Island can signal Mothra to return. And I went, why?
Why would that be a thing?
And why? Just explain why. Find a reason why. Tell me why.
You said it begs the question of like, why are all these things happening? So what made
it's the laziest right
part of the Iwi tribe go up to Skull Island? But it seems like the Iwi tribe, they know of the portals. They can access.
They know
them,
that Skull Island
can
communicate
exists. To it.
Also,
why
if she's
they bring
it,
the people back,
if she's Skull reading, Island? If she's reading this word for word off the wall, they also call it Skull Island, and they also call it Hollow Earth.
That's true. Yeah. Well, again, well, she was reading hieroglyphics, so she wasn't reading like a language thing. She was just seeing these pictures and was like, I know exactly what is happening here.
Yeah, I suppose.
Someone from Skull Island clearly needs to awaken Mothra.
Why?
Which also,
didn't where was Mothra? Didn't Mothra die in King of Monsters?
So they didn't really explain if this is like Mothra's kid or a new version, or do they reincarnate? Or
also in this movie, why do they have to make Mothra look so damn hot?
Oh my god,
the curves on that bug.
That's insane.
I said that like out loud in the theater scheme to nobody because I watched it alone because I thought it was such a funny joke that I had to say it out loud.
Dude, imagine, you know, they have the ushers, like sometimes they'll come into the theater just to check and see if there's someone.
They see the one guy sitting alone at 1 p.m. go, damn, Mothra's kind of hot. They're like, wait a minute. They go, oh, no. That's a funny joke. Wait, he's sitting alone.
He's like, man.
I wish I had seen it with somebody because somebody would have laughed. Somebody I was sitting with would have laughed.
Okay, like a stranger in the theater or someone you actually went with?
No, if I went with somebody, if I went with anybody, if you had been sitting next to me and I said, damn, they made Mothra look so damn hot, I think you would have laughed.
Yeah, that would be a...
They did give her more curves in this movie. Say I'm wrong.
I did not rewatch The King of the Monsters, so I can't confirm or deny. Wasn't paying attention to that, honestly. I will say,
like Shakira, Mothra's hips do not lie.
There we go. I will say the redesign for Kong, because they keep changing him. Again, I want to know, like, what is the exact age? Like, is he aging as a normal gorilla? Or
gorilla? Like,
what is the time span that we have here? Because he's looking old. They give that man a whole beard. He's got gray hairs and everything. So I don't know what they're doing with that. No wonder he keeps losing to Godzilla over and over again. That man's old. Let him retire.
Yeah. Jesus.
What'd you think of Diddy Kong?
I didn't care for Diddy Kong.
Me neither. I didn't care.
I didn't give a fuck about Diddy Kong.
I'm on that same wavelength.
When that one gorilla tried to protect Diddy Kong and then Scar King knocked him into the lava, I was like, am I supposed to care? Also, Scar King, supposed to be the ultimate villain, didn't give a shit about him either. They just made Joker gorilla.
Yeah. Joker orangutan. They also, which they didn't explain, again, at this point, it's like, who cares? But he was controlling the ice dragon via one of the spikes that came from the ice dragon, and that somehow controls it.
It gave it pain.
He controls it with pain, and I'm like, this is just,
yeah,
that was silly.
Yeah,
they could have found
I was watching like the scenes where Kong interacts with the gorillas when he first arrives and like the whole dynamic of the gorillas, and I was like, I would rather just be watching Dawn of the Planet of the Apes if I'm gonna be watching a movie about gorillas. Like, they're the inner politics of these hyper-intelligent gorillas. I'd rather just watch Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. True. It's so much better.
I mean, I can respect that they try to have a portion where it's like, all right, we're going to just do expressions and no dialogue here. And it's like, okay, cool.
Sure.
However, I still don't care about like the characters in there. They had to do more.
You didn't make me give a shit about Kong at all. Like, I truly don't care.
It would have been nice had they had him, because they show up and then he sees like another gorilla, which he's never seen, and then immediately gets attacked by them and then attacked by a gang. And then he told Diddy Kong to take me to your leader, essentially. So then he goes there and then all it is just a confrontation with the king. Like, he immediately challenges him there. It would have been compelling if he had gone down to Hollower Earth and he gets welcomed by all these great apes. And then he feels like he has a family. And then we get to discover that, oh, that Scar King is a bad guy who's controlling the ice dragon, which it also didn't seem like there's a real connection between Godzilla and that ice dragon thing.
Other than that they looked similar.
Yeah, but that would have been a cool way. Instead of, again, Godzilla randomly attacking King Kong because he went up to the surface world.
Yeah. I think if I was going to redo this movie, I think the way to do it is to cut out the human story completely, because I don't care about them. It's straight exposition. And I think at this point with the monster movies in the Monsterverse, we have transcended the need for human narratives in this storyline. And I would have just gone straight for a King Kong storyline where he goes deeper into Hollow Earth and finds that gorilla tribe and tries to ingratiate himself in them. And then, like you said, has to fight Scar King, for whatever reason. And then it's a side story where Godzilla is gaining power and we don't know why. And we learn some other way that he's gearing up to fight Scar King for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But again, I would have rather the monsters be the main story, or alternatively, just write better human characters.
I would say that one. I think we do need, because again, the CGI levels have gone down, and you could definitely feel that.
Which is crazy. I feel like this is the worst shot of all of the monster movies. I feel like even King of Monsters looked better than this one. This one, the way they shot it, for some reason, like every other shot, only the center of the screen was in focus, and like the outer edges of the screen were all out of focus for some reason, like some kind of weird lens that they're using of some kind. It was a lot of tight shots on the characters and on the monsters, and it's like, I'm supposed to be taking in this environment of Hollow Earth and the world as a whole as these monsters are fighting. Why are you using such tight lenses for this? Give me a wide lens.
Right. Yeah. It was
also, can we talk about how the little girl, Gia, she draws the shapes on her test.
That's so stupid. I forgot about that. Rebecca Hall
brings it to Brian Tyree Henry and goes, am I crazy? Look at these. And it's just three triangles and a waveform of three triangles. And he goes, they're exactly the same. The one in the center is slightly bigger. I'm like, what? It's just
the revelation.
Three triangles. If she had gone crazy and detailed drew the pyramids as they were shown in the movie, that would be different. But she just sketched three black triangles that had nothing to do with anything.
Like, why did they need? They could have just been like, "Oh, we're getting these crazy weird signals from like deep in Hollow Earth. Like, just do that." Why did you need to have her like have visions?
Yeah. Also, why did Rebecca Hall? Why did she let her daughter go? Like, very quickly gave in and was like, yeah, I guess you can go. Wouldn't it be more compelling if the daughter snuck onto the ship?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's like a cliche thing. So I was wondering what they were going to do. But
sometimes I'd rather them lean into cliche than her just going, you can't go, it's too dangerous. And then the daughter going, where you go, I go. And she goes, damn, using my words against me. I guess you can end up on this incredibly dangerous mission that we could possibly die during.
I think the daughter, though, she was like, you need me to communicate with Kong. And I was like,
that's a much more compelling argument.
The same exact thing in the first one, and she was younger then. And so it's like, okay, she got him there. But then it was funny that immediately after that scene, Brian Tyree Henry tries to petition to get onto the ship. Rebecca Hall is like, no, no, no. And then within that same scene, like half a minute later, she lets him on. Like she... both people that try to get on, she just immediately was like, sure.
Spineless.
And what's funny, before that, she volunteered Trapper. She was like, hey, want to go for a ride? So it's like, she's bringing everyone on this trip. Like,
yeah, I feel bad for the military guy. He's trying to run a very strict and serious operation, and they're just goofing around, and then he gets killed by a tree for no reason. Completely unnecessary. Could have been killed in a much more different way, a much more impactful way. Could have had an actual character. They're just in the forest, and he gets eaten by a tree. For no reason.
I was like, I knew that man was gone. But yeah, they made him like a jerk.
He was like fine the whole time. And then he just was an asshole at the last second. And then a tree ate him.
Yeah. So it did for like a shock, but also comedic effect thing. It would have been nicer if they made it. Because again, they had such a limited crew this time around of like the human characters that were down there. If it was someone that we actually cared about and maybe they had a death. They needed to give something to the human characters to make them compelling. They did not. They absolutely did not. But again, the actual action with the... I was expecting, okay, human characters suck, but we're going to have like full-on battles between these different monsters. It'll be great. They really saved it until the final like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And it was dumb. Because the portion that happens in Hollow Earth... there's no sense of scale because Hollow Earth is huge. All these kaijus are huge. They're also all flying around in an anti-gravity thing. Again, they threw that in too at the last second. They were like, oh, by the way, to make this one set piece we want to do look or just be believable, we have to say this random thing about two pyramids touching and then gravity gets reversed, but only in certain sections of the...
Yeah, and it looks stupid too. It just looked dumb.
Looked ridiculous. A lot of the choreography also was not as strong as Godzilla versus Kong. So, yeah, it was good that they they went back up to like the surface, so if you get a sense of, again, there's a city here, so now we know exactly how big these monsters are and when they're crashing through the buildings, like that, there's a little more impact there. But I just don't think it was as strongly choreographed. And they could have done more since it was like a 2v2 this time, which was a new dynamic. But I don't know. It was the best part of the movie for sure. That was the one part where I was locked in and entertained, but came way too late. It wasn't hitting on the caliber that it needed to make up for a lot of what
it was just so much setup. So much setup. Oh my God. Dude, I checked my phone, but when they got to, what is it called? When they were doing the narration about Scar King, and I Kong was making his way to the final bit of where the rest of the gorillas were, and I was like, they're still setting shit up right now. Like, we haven't even met the main villain yet. I checked my phone. We were like an hour and some change into it. I was like, what the fuck? It's a 2-hour movie. You have to get there in like 20, 30 minutes max. Because you just can't be setting shit up that much. That was my problem with Dune 1, because it was all set up. And this movie is also just straight up set up. It's not even visually stunning like Dune.
There you go.
It's just ugly. Some
respect on my boy's name. And also, that first hour, there was at least a big payoff of the whole Atreides fall. And this again, there's nothing. It's like, come on. I was waiting because I knew from the trailers, right? We see him get the arm, like the little Infinity Gauntlet thing. And then, waiting to see when Scar King gets introduced. So I was like, man, we are taking a long time to get there.
That's what I'm saying. I almost walked out of the theater. I was so bored.
That's crazy. But here's the thing. I wasn't going to walk out, but there were a few parts of the film where I was daydreaming about me arriving back home and cooking food because I was so hungry. And I was like,
Nothing's
compelling on the screen, so I'm just going to entertain myself by thinking of that sweet food.
I think if I was sitting in that theater watching it alone and we weren't doing this episode on Godzilla Kong, I would have walked out of that theater about an hour in. I was so bored.
Wow.
I think if we weren't doing this, if I wasn't committed to having an opinion about the movie for this episode, I probably would have left about the time they got to the human civilization and found them and started talking about all the telepathic shit. I was like, none of this makes sense and I don't care and the action isn't that good and Godzilla's barely in it. The one plus is Godzilla falling asleep in the Colosseum. That's funny.
True.
It's like a nap spot.
The one thing that I was like, okay, was when Godzilla suplexed Kong. Again, and they didn't even, it's like, you're right there, have him do it into the pyramid. They picked him and did it away from the pyramid. Come on.
I love that they're screaming at each other.
Through the table, through the pyramid.
I love they're screaming at each other. Kong is at the pyramids and Godzilla is standing on top of the Rock of Gibraltar.
Like completely different cities.
They're all the way across Africa. They are thousands of miles apart from each other and they're screaming at each other. And then in a matter of like less than a minute, Godzilla's there. He's ready to roll.
Unbelievable. Just absurd. Going back to your point about some other thing, I just wanted to point this out. The random car commercial that got snuck in there.
You saw the Volkswagen?
Yes.
Dude, they're like dramatic moment. And I was like, okay, they're trying to build some character moment stuff here. Maybe I should pay attention. And then it did the wide shot of them getting into the Volkswagen. And I wish you had been there because I wanted to make a joke so bad.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It just took me so far out of it.
Because it was somehow just, because most movies, they'll throw a car logo in there, of course, somehow, and it will appeal to whatever, it'll be good enough for whatever clients are trying to get their car snuck into the movie. This was just a straight up wide angle shot of the all new Volkswagen Taos or whatever it is. It looked like it was straight out of a car commercial.
It did, literally. Like the only, if they had changed that out for just a typical, I don't know, like those warehouse or stages where they'll put them up and, spin them around. If that were there, the lighting was exactly the same, framing exactly the same, you would not be able to tell. The only difference is just because they happen to be in wherever they were in, Barbados or something like that, I don't know. That was crazy. That goes to the fact that, it was shot poorly compared to the previous one. And it's the same exact director. I don't know if the DP was the same, but I don't know why.
It is the same DP. I looked it up.
Yeah.
I don't know why it looks so much worse.
Looked much better in this one. Yeah. A lot of it was just not clicking at all.
It visually was hard to watch.
Ugly in many places. And then again, the CGI is much worse because it's taking up a lot more CGI time, but they ran through it much quicker. Like, you can just tell that there's not as much quality, care, believability to the VFX that they had there.
They fully went for quantity over quality, which is a hard, it's a wrong choice. It's the wrong choice.
Yeah. So I think you should definitely,
Gareth Edwards, dude, the creator. Oof.
Yeah, get rid of that. Insane. You should definitely rewatch Godzilla vs. Kong.
I'll give it a shot.
Again, I had so much more fun with that. Heavily enjoyed it.
Yeah, the music is fantastic in Godzilla vs. Kong.
It's
awesome.
The music, again, I don't really recall exactly
it's
what that was.
But it's a, God, I got to look up who it is. Chunky. It's somebody. Yeah, it's Junkie XL. Dude, Junkie XL. Yeah. On the beat? Come on. It hits hard.
It is great.
It's awesome.
That's it. And Mechagodzilla, I mean, that was a much more compelling like villain and all that.
Yeah, that was cool.
The way they had them get together, the whole Hong Kong sequence. Yeah, it worked. It was dumb fun that delivered on that promise. This one was dumb fun without the fun. How many Great Ape Toothaches out of 5 are you giving this one?
1.
Dang. That's got to be one of our low scores. I'm going not right there with you, but close enough. 1.5 out of 5. It was abysmal.
Absolutely.
Not fun at all.
One of the worst. And now here's my discussion with Ezra Prather about the MonsterVerse and the all-new Godzilla Kong, the New Empire. Titles are usually like this one's probably just going to be Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire. I remember the one we did for Friends was the one where they talk about sitcoms. That was a clever one. There was, God, if I see the opportunity present itself.
Did that catch you off guard?
Catch what off guard?
Godzilla running?
Yes. Yes, it did. It was bizarre, right?
I don't know if the physics of monster movies play out.
It doesn't make any sense.
But that would be a good name for
it. Absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand a lot of the things that happened in that movie. So you remember, let's start from the beginning. So you've seen all of the MonsterVerse movies, right? Godzilla.
Oh yeah.
From 2014.
Let's see. There's the 2014. Mm. There's the.
You saw Kong Skull Island.
Mm. I've seen the first Godzilla X Kong. I saw Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yep. And then now you've seen Godzilla the New Empire.
The New Empire. Yeah. So that's
how did you watch Godzilla the New Empire? Now that we have the mic rolling.
Now that I have the mic rolling, I watched it at Regal.
Yeah. Was it? So, all right, we'll skip it. So let's start from the beginning. When we were talking about this with Ryan, because Ryan and I recorded our part yesterday, and he went back and he rewatched all the originals to prepare for Godzilla X Kong. And
like the original of the
Of the MonsterVerse movies, he watched all of them to have an opinion about it. And his favorite is the 2014 Godzilla with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Awful.
And Brian Cranston. You don't like
awful.
It?
Awful.
Why? Please tell me why.
And it was, I mean, the acting was terrible. They killed Brian Cranston way too early.
That was his biggest complaint as well.
It's,
as that
it's just Cranston what a died. What a waste. He's the only one there like worth his weight in acting, and they just killed him. It's like in Bullet Train when
Bad Bunny dies immediately. Yeah,
and he just freaking died.
I went to that movie to see Bad Bunny act, and then they just killed him immediately.
I took somebody who loves Bad Bunny as like a first date.
Oh no.
Yeah, and then Bad Bunny was dead, and I was just stuck there.
That's rough. Oh jeez. But you didn't like. You didn't think it was like shot beautifully, like the CGI. I feel like the CGI is the best in that movie compared to the later ones. That's what Ryan and also sort of agreed upon.
Yeah, I guess. I think that
is this cute skating?
Yes. The way
we're recording.
Oh, you are? I'm sorry.
Thoughts on the Godzilla.
I thought you were impressed.
Lillian, thoughts on the Godzilla.
I love Godzilla. Godzilla King of Monsters is my favorite.
No,
I love Blue Godzilla.
Now you have to sit down and talk about it, because King of Monsters is arguably the worst one.
Don't
in
agree
that
with that
one.
At all.
Mothra's there.
I love
all
King
the
of
girlies
King
love
of Monsters.
Mothra.
Mm. Oh,
I have
so
the
you'll love this one that's coming up.
Oh boy, is Mothra in it? Don't tell me, I don't want to know. I'm going to see it tonight.
The CGI, yes, I understand. I think that Godzilla, the 2014, was groundbreaking mm-hmm. in the way that it looked. It's certainly, of all the Godzilla movies that I've seen, my favorite sort of prototype. Mm-hmm. I was not in love with the antagonist of that film.
Okay.
Either the people or the Muto, I can never remember.
I can barely remember. I can't even say it.
I think it's Muto, though. But maybe not. Not the most thrilling monster by sure. any means.
That's fair.
I think that they were trying to go into a direction with the Godzilla movie of like taking itself mm-hmm. way too seriously. And that's why I like King of the Monsters a little bit more, because really? they threw seriousness to the wayside and went, let's cast Millie Bobby Brown and just fuck shit up. Let's just like have fun.
So you are a fan of the camp and the sort of ridiculousness yeah. of the later movies?
100%.
See, I think that works really well in Godzilla versus Kong, specifically that movie, where you have these really good action sequences and then they have like a little bit of exposition that doesn't make sense, but then they just throw it to the wayside and they just do fun things and they make good jokes. But I don't think it works in King of Monsters because that movie's just so boring and forgettable. And it definitely doesn't work in this new movie because it's just so much exposition that they're throwing at you that it just becomes boring and horrible, horrible to watch.
But I like the action sequences in King of the Monsters probably the most because it's the most varied by far. You've got,
I suppose.
You've got Rodan and the volcano. Mm-hmm. You've got all the stuff happening with Monster Zero in Antarctica. You've got, like, I just thought that there was so much to, like, eye candy when it came to monsters trying to, like, I thought that movie had the least amount of talking. I remember the mm-hmm. CinemaSins, another gripe that I have with the first Godzilla movie. He's mm-hmm. in it, what, like 14 minutes or something?
Godzilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Godzilla's probably, in it like yeah. like an abysmal amount.
And I think the choice was that they are on a very limited budget and they want him to look as great as possible CGI wise. So they're limiting how many times you see him so that the shots they can work on, he looks fantastic in, which is what some of these later movies fall apart in, is they have a higher budget, yes, but there's so much CGI going on that they are stretching that budget thin, and so it just looks terrible. Like, this new one that came out is arguably the worst looking of the entire series.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we can get into exactly what is wrong with Empire.
So you didn't like the new Empire?
No. Okay. I mean, it was stupid, mm. but it was also like, I'm sort of over the, you know, odd like spirituality of monster movies. Mm. Like I like science monster movies.
Okay.
And so this movie felt like very much like we're just gonna have things that are odd and,
yeah.
and crystals and
yeah, like and the whole civilization in Hollow Earth existing and being able to communicate telepathically, manipulate gravity for no reason.
It's odd. And you know, I'm also sort of over this like weird like cliche of like, ooh, like native tribe connection is mystic and powerful and mm-hmm. spiritual. Like I think it's just a what's the word?
Like
it starts with a P. I can't think of it.
Pseudo.
No. It just not perpetrates, but perpetuates. There it is.
Perpetuates.
Sort of perpetuates this idea of like they're like it like others. Mm-hmm. I think native people as like the like and their spirituality. Like I don't know. It feels mm-hmm. just a bit odd.
It feels like there's a lack of understanding of
yeah.
spirituality in what they write. It's like a bare bones sort of approach to what spirituality is in these tribes, and they're just
it's made up.
Yeah, it's like it's a fake tribe, sure, so you can get away with a little bit more, but it's still like a skin deep representation of what an isolated tribe would be.
So the way do we run through the entire
yeah we could,
plot
we could
of the movie
we or? Can go through it beat by beat. Yeah, I we had a lot to talk about
we had to condense it because Ryan had to catch a flight, and so we didn't get too deep into the New Empire. We were talking a lot about the older movies, but when we started talking about the New Empire, we just had so many bad things to say, like one after another after another. When you listen to his part, you'll understand. But we just, there was to us nothing redeeming about the movie, because like I don't like King of Monsters that much, but we talked a lot about Godzilla versus Kong and how we did enjoy that one. It came out in like 2021. It was like the first movie I saw back in theaters during the pandemic. So it was my big return to the theaters, and I had a good time watching it. It was a lot of CGI, and it was a lot of hard to read sort of CGI with the monster fights, but their set pieces still worked. I think there was the Kong on the boat when Godzilla attacks the boat and they have to fight in the water. There was the fight at the end of Mechagodzilla. There was the whole set piece with Rodan's head being part of Mechagodzilla. Like, it had advantages to it. And I talked about the music a lot, Junkie XL score. And then we go to New Empire, and it just feels like they took everything that was good and fun and campy about Godzilla versus Kong, and they threw it to the wayside in favor of just insane amount of exposition to set up something that doesn't even pay off very well. It's like an hour and a half of setup for 30 minutes of payoff that doesn't feel earned. If that makes sense. It just was so boring. And I was this close to walking out of the theater when I was watching it, because I didn't care enough about it. And the only reason I was staying was because of this podcast, because I wanted to watch the whole thing to be able to talk about it. I wanted to leave so bad.
I don't think I have the whatever it is to like walk out of a theater. Like I think I'll always finish a movie, probably because I like the stubbornness of paying for it. Mm. But yeah, I would say that when I wasn't confused by the words that were being said, mm-hmm. You know, I thought a lot of the jokes and the comedic relief was not really paying off. You know, I mean,
yeah, it was.
You had the guy that was like, "I'm scared. And oh, Brian, I'm Tyree scared. Henry, yeah. I act gay." And the funny because gay, like. That happened at least two or three times.
Yeah,
there was that really weird shot where he like grabbed his arm, like linked arms with him, and the guy grabbed his hand, and I was like, "Are they about to kiss? Like, yeah, what's going on?"
They had a beat there, yeah.
And you know, they always like it's so strange and funny to me when they're like the Australian guy and the short haired woman. Mm. Don't remember any of their names. And I literally watched it an hour ago.
That's
like when they had that 5 second, like, remember when we were in love in college?
Yeah, yeah. They like set up something that doesn't even pay off.
Yeah, I was like, are they gonna get together at the end? Like,
no, apparently not.
Yeah,
his entire role I felt was terribly done. Like, he's just there. He has no character development. He has no participation. Pretty much, he's just kind of there the whole time.
He's the vet. He takes out the teeth.
Yeah, I suppose, but like there's nothing to his character. He's very surface level. It's terrible. Terribly written. You have gone on record multiple times saying that you enjoy these movies because of the monster fights, that you just enjoy the CGI fighting of the monsters.
I love destruction. I love watching things get destroyed. Uh-huh. I love fight sequences. And I didn't like, I mean, no, it was not nearly as much in this movie. Like, you know, there's the scene that introduces Godzilla. That's literally like 15 seconds.
Yep.
And then there's they set up all this thing about Titana or the serpent in the Arctic.
The Gyarados, like, kind of thing.
Yeah. They're like, oh gosh, this is like big, scary. If he gets, and I mean, yes, you can pretty much predict that he's going to be able to do it, but. I like all the they always do this of like the monster is wrapped around Godzilla, they pan up, and then all of a sudden the monster is dead. It's like, yeah. I would have liked to, like, I don't know how that happened. Like, I don't know how Godzilla always seems to, or they did the same thing with Kong too. It's like, if you're gonna do the cliche of like showing the monster that you want to win clearly in trouble and then just panning away and then the monster just suddenly wins. Like, it doesn't, that doesn't do the emotional pull that they think it does, especially when they do it multiple times in one movie.
You also don't feel the weight of
how strong this monster is, because you don't see him struggle and then finally overcome that struggle. You just see him struggling, and then it kind of undercuts the fact that he was struggling by seeing how easy it was for him to beat this monster.
And that is something that I think King of the Monsters did very well. Like, I that entire last sequence with, like, the radioactivity and the mom driving and, that movie really showed Godzilla, like, struggling, like, not being able to succeed without the help of some of the other monsters. And they were long sequences that we got to see a lot of. I also, something that was different about this one, I haven't seen a monster movie as, like, graphic as this one since probably Skull Island. Sure. Skull Island was pretty graphic, too, but this one had a lot of, like, ripping monsters apart and eating their entrails, and I was like, okay,
When Kong takes the thing and he rips it in half and the blood pours all over him, the green blood or whatever, I thought that was cool, yeah.
But like they did more of that than like actual like set up sequences. So it just felt like, ripping.
Yeah. It felt like for the action sequences, they just wanted them to fight for like 20 seconds and then have the winning monster rip the other one apart just for like surprise effect of like, ooh, it's violent, it's gory, but there's no like setup to the fights. There's no tension building. And then the fights themselves are just so short. Even the final fight scene in the gravity set piece or whatever.
It was a mess.
It was hard to read.
And then it like shut off and then they were all falling and then.
It was hard to tell what was going on. It just was ugly to look at and it didn't even, it lasted very, very short amount of time.
I think the main issue with this movie is the proportion of time that they dedicated to certain elements of it. You know, I think about like they gave no time to having us understand why this skull ape or what was his name?
Scar King.
Scar King, yeah. The Scar King was evil, except there's that like 5-second scene where it seems like the parent of the baby. Baby Kong is like, no, don't hurt him. And then he pushes him into lava. Evil. I'm like,
we have no background to this. And they're setting up to be like the biggest villain we've seen so far is this Scar King. He's been banished here by Godzilla and he wants his vengeance. And we don't know anything about him. Like they do all the wrong kinds of setup. Like we could have set up who the Scar King was the entire first hour of the movie. And they spend so much time for Kong to get there that they have no time to actually build up the Scar King's character.
Getting there and it was all just the setup for the final scene.
It was boring to watch. The gravity scene was the only part.
Why
was
he in control of the Arctic? Like what where did he get a hold of that thing?
He controls him through pain. That's the only explanation they give.
But it's just this like I don't get it.
But the only redeeming fight scene they had was the very last one on land in, what was it, Rio, I think? And they're fighting there because it was the one that I could just easily tell what was going on. It lasted the longest. There was actual problems that they had to face while they were fighting. There were actual struggles happening. And there was actual like destruction in a human city, which is what you want to see when you watch these monster movies. You want to watch destruction. Like the whole Tokyo thing at the end of Godzilla vs. Kong, where they're fighting the Mechagodzilla, fantastic. I wish they could have capitalized on that idea in this movie, but they just don't. The monster fight scenes are not enjoyable whatsoever, and they're hard to read, and I don't know where they go from here as a franchise in terms of building off of it. It just feels like such an anticlimactic thing, because Godzilla vs. Kong was such an epic conclusion to what this had been so far, and to bring it to this just feels very anticlimactic. They would have to do something newer and different past this movie that makes it more exciting and more thrilling and ends off on a better note.
I think another reason that potentially I was so... Because again, like all of these movies have elements of like horrible writing and camp. And that's like that's par for the course. That's why I go. I don't go to Godzilla movies to like see good writing and good acting.
Yeah.
I go because I want to see things destroyed, and I want to see fight scenes, and I want to see like silly. I want to hear the silly writing, but it's got to work in a way that that makes sense in the context of everything that's going on. And you know, maybe they're doing the whole Marvel thing where it's just like, we're just going to throw 1.5 million things at you, so you don't know what direction we're going to take it, but we could take it 1.5 million directions because we've thrown so much. You know, they now we could talk about Hollow World and the secret Hollow World within the Hollow World,
Hollow Earth.
Yeah, and like
they just keep going deeper. They just keep digging deeper, find more and more monsters.
They get to the core, like,
and then when they get as far as they can, and they just throw in an alien or something.
Yeah,
alien crash lands. They have to fight the alien monster.
Well, that was King of the Monsters.
Yeah, that's fair. Rodan was an alien, but like they could do it again.
Rodan, no,
Ghidorah. Ghidorah was the you're right. Rodan's the bird. Ghidorah's a three headed one, and he's the alien. You're right.
But a Godzilla movie that just came out that sort of took the like unserious writing and forgettable characters and sort of turned that on its head was Godzilla Minus One.
You saw that one?
Certainly the best Godzilla movie in terms of its content.
Okay.
You know, it's the first time since the 2014 release, it's the first time that I've watched a Godzilla movie and empathized with the humans.
That's good. The people. That's a good thing. Yeah.
It's Godzilla. Like, he wasn't necessarily an antagonist. He was just this creature that was like awoken because of us, but he's destroying things and you don't want him destroying things.
Yeah.
And the people have like, you know, believable sadness and rage and,
I watched these movies, like the Warner Brothers franchise of monster movies, and I do have fun watching the monsters go into these towns and shred these places apart, destroy these buildings and whatnot. But I can't help but always think they are just killing thousands of people as a result. Like, they are knocking buildings down left and right, and there is not enough time to evacuate a city before then for them to be able to do this without any consequence. And then they never explore the consequence of that, which I suppose is fine, but it's just
the government wants to control it, which is probably the next direction they're going to take, is like evil government corporate officials,
which could be compelling in a way. It could be compelling to see them trying to control these monsters that could easily level, you know, enemy countries in seconds. It would be an interesting and captivating
Jurassic way to World process.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that I haven't seen that I probably should start watching is Monarch, the show. And maybe that is a missing piece here.
I forgot about that. You're right.
But it's... so after Godzilla Minus One, which was like a low budget, comparatively lower budget, like well done movie with an appropriate amount of action and destruction, but also great characters and great writing. It's like, whatever movie came after that better be good, and it wasn't good. It didn't hit any of the marks.
It just feels like if you have something like, and I haven't seen Godzilla Minus One yet, but it feels like from everything I've heard, if you have something that hits everything you want on the head perfectly, it has compelling characters and it has great action and it has great CGI and it has monsters tearing things apart, if you could do everything all at once, why wouldn't you want to capitalize on that and do it every time? And it feels like the Warner Brothers franchise doesn't care about doing that every time. They care about building this world franchise of like the Monarch industry and then the monsters as a whole in this world and trying to capitalize on that further and further and further. And they don't care about the characters. They don't care about the story they're telling. They just want to make money in this franchise, which they're doing. I mean, we're paying to see it. It's doing well at the box office. They're going to make a sequel, I'm sure, because it's still doing well. And there's just no way to convince them to try and create a more quality product, because why would they need to? Whereas Godzilla Minus One, they're doing it for the love of the story. They're doing it for the love of Godzilla, the character, and what it represents. They're doing it for the what Godzilla meant as a historical figure in terms of the effects of nuclear testing and radiation and the effect it had on Japan and whatnot. And it was just, it felt like there was, and I haven't even seen the movie yet, but it just seemed like there's more reverence and more care for a character and a desire to see it told well, as opposed to the Warner Brothers franchises, which just feel like money pits for the most part at this point.
Why the heck was he running?
I don't know. Yeah. Godzilla running is ridiculous. It just feels wrong. Like, I just don't feel
it's
like
too big.
Like, even Kong technically is too big to run like that, but at least it looks normal because he's just a big gorilla. This is, like, every iteration of Godzilla has him moving relatively slowly because it makes him feel more large. It makes it, when there's shots of Godzilla or Kong and there's no other creatures present, like, there's no humans in the shots or anything, they don't feel as big as they actually are because they're moving so fast and moving so randomly. And I get they're trying to capitalize on the action of it all and trying to make them more physical characters that can fight and whatnot. But I feel like it'd be cool to watch them just tearing each other apart with a camera closer to the ground, looking up and then just seeing how massive these things are fighting. I feel like that would be more compelling and more interesting to watch. But dude, Ryan brought this up. Godzilla suplexing Kong on the pyramids. It just doesn't look right. It just doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous.
Suplexing. Yeah. The running into, like, the dive. It's just like, I don't know, you know, they're monster movies, so it's not real. But I mean, as somebody who likes to subscribe a little bit to, like, the physics of monster movies, mm-hmm. there's just no way.
Yeah.
You know, elephants can't, I mean, they can charge and they can move pretty quickly, but they don't, like a
it doesn't look like they're sprinting.
A biped that is that large is just no.
There's just no way it can pick up its leg that fast. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It looks like when he's running, because there's nothing else near him, it looks like he's maybe 30 feet tall at most. And he's not. Yeah. He's 300 feet tall, you know? He's supposed to be huge. He's supposed to be like at least the size of a football field tall, if not taller. And he's just not. He's running at a normal pace. He curls up and takes a nap inside the Colosseum. Like, that's how big he is. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I was hoping for more after Godzilla vs. Kong. I was hoping it would be shot a little better. I was hoping, I didn't have high hopes for the human story. I never really do. I was hoping that the monster fights would be at the very least more entertaining to the point where I wouldn't care that the human story was written poorly, but they spent so much time with the human story and with the exposition and with the setup and such few time with the monsters doing monster fights that I was just so bored the entire time. And that's the worst thing.
Thoughts on the ultimate decision of the kid to stay with the mom?
I think it's fine. Yeah, I mean, they were building up to that the whole time of, you know, where you go, I go. What we do together. You know, they were building up that the whole time. It's a pretty standard, straightforward thing. I feel like she's, I don't know. I feel like there should have been more of a character journey for her to be more accepting of the real world as opposed to her tribe. For her to be able to make that decision to stay. And there's no character development to get there. She just says, what do you mean I go where you go? And then that's it. And it's like, okay. It's supposed to be the emotional climax of the movie, and it just does not stick that landing. Thoughts on her being the only one that can awaken Mothra, because she is the Iwe tribe member from Skull Island. Which is just pure exposition to get her to be on that pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another, like, we can, you know, we can create all of this lore, you know, we can create all of the history, and I think the most ludicrous thing about all of that is that the short-haired, what was her name?
I just call her Rebecca Hall. That's the actress's name. I don't know the character.
Is that name. Rebecca Hall could understand all of the written from thousands of years ago.
They're just shapes.
There's no way the language is the same as the one on Skull Island, and you didn't even know that this tribe existed, and you can understand their.
That's what Ryan Hill was saying, is how are these people who have lived centuries apart from the same tribe in Skull Island, how are they so similar? Like, it just takes everything we know about
linguistics culture and
evolution and just throws it out the window. Like, if you are separated from your tribe for hundreds and hundreds of years, at that point, your languages will be different, your cultures will be different, the way you dress will be
and
different.
And where would you have gotten the word Scar King from? Like, it just didn't, it, it, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, Ryan's point was, yeah, I don't know how she got the word Scar King, but Ryan's point was that she's just reading hieroglyphs, which are just shapes, and she's just attributing English words to the shapes she's reading, and she just calls it Scar King. But she says Scar King with such confidence that
it makes
it seem like it's a direct translation.
She's saying names, and she is saying, like...
Yeah, like, she sees the shape of Godzilla, and she calls it Godzilla, because that's what she calls it. But she could have been like, oh, it's some kind of great ape that has a scar on its face. And then it could just be called the Scar King that we know it's called Scar King. I don't know where they got the idea for the Scar King from, but it just felt like such an anticlimactic villain. He was barely in the movie to begin with. We didn't even know his existence until an hour and 10 minutes into the movie. And he's supposed to be the main antagonist. I feel like his presence should be felt more throughout the beginning parts of the movie. And like they show his print on the wall, which doesn't even make... Okay. So Kong sets the trap for the animals. It breaks open, revealing Hollow-er Earth. And so the Scar King gets out and he destroys Outpost 1 and leaves his big claw print on the wall ominously. And then just goes back to his lair and just chills there. He does not continue to search for a way out of Hollow Earth now that he's out of Hollow-er Earth.
And they said, like, we need to leave before he comes back.
He didn't come back. He wasn't even close. He was still, he went all the way back to Hollow Earth. He just sat there.
And then I thought that the tree that ate the guy.
How useless.
I thought something would come of that. I don't know. Like anything. Like what?
It was like a comedic beat. It was just for nothing.
And you mean to tell me that, like, these people have, like, and he's like, it's the name of the game. These people are down there. They've been down there before. You mean to tell me they, like, don't. They know about this stuff at this point, I would hope.
Well, they do say they've only explored 5% of Hollow Earth, so it's possible they just don't know all the creatures that are down there. I just think it's stupid that they introduced this character who seems like a very rational and normal person who is going to be with the team the whole time. And then he has like one moment where he freaks out and gets angry for like 20 seconds, and then they eat him as like revenge for being an angry person and being stubborn. And then he's just dead for the rest of the movie. He's just gone completely. They could have done so much with his character, so much more. They could have built him up as the human antagonist, and they just chose not to. And I don't know why. It's just so much wasted potential in the story because they're just trying to set up so much stuff for the Godzilla Kong fight at the end. And Godzilla's barely in the movie, if you ask me. It's Godzilla so much of Kong
in the movie.
And
it's just
that's why
charging up and another like. The atomic breath in Godzilla Minus One is so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And it happens so much less. I think like it's just Godzilla and he's pink now, yay, you know, gay rights.
Woo!
But it like why is it pink? It's pink just because it's different. And I mean, like, what do you mean that's the biggest energy source in the entire of course it is.
Yeah, because that's where the sunspots hit the Earth the most, is in this part of the Arctic. So, of course, all the solar radiation is just packed into this ice with this creature just sitting in it. And so, of course, Godzilla's going to go there. But
and, like, almost die, but then pan up and then destroy the creature. And then
it's just like, now that Godzilla has charged up all this radiation, how many times can he use it before it runs out? Because it feels like he just uses it all the time and it never runs out. He's just now... It's like he's leveled up and can never level back down. He's just, why didn't he just do this in the first place? Like a long time ago. If he could gain this power and never lose it, why would he not have done this hundreds of years ago so that he could be powerful, as powerful as possible, to fight whatever monsters he needs to fight? It just seems, I thought they were building up like he has one atomic breath that he can use that he's saving for Scar King by saving up all this radiation. And then he used it on Kong when they were fighting, and I went, oh no, Godzilla wasted the atomic breath on Kong. Like, he's supposed to be saving it for Scar King. Now he can't use it. And then he was still pink afterward, and I went, oh, okay. And then he just used it as many times as he wanted afterward.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe all that energy came with sort of an unlimited usage.
There's just no stakes whatsoever. And just no thoughts about including stakes to raise the game at all. I mean, they're saying that Scar King will take over the world, but... Why? There's just no explanation as to why. He doesn't feel that threatening. He just feels like a bad villain.
I also think of all of, like, the titans and creatures, like, the great apes could be destroyed by humanity.
Yeah, probably.
Like we would
absolutely
just,
yeah. Just I mean, we've yet to beat King Kong in this universe at least, but I feel like of all the ones we've seen, yeah, he beat like Godzilla is the one that is the most dominating and the most threatening.
Yeah, and Godzilla is the one that they can't beat because yeah. No matter how much they blow him up and destroy
he
him,
he just like, absorbs the radiation and then expels it back at you. He's so threatening and dangerous. But this is just a big, tall ape who has a Godzilla-like frost creature under his control. And he's not actually that scary.
That creature is the most powerful of the. What do you mean it created the Ice Age?
Yeah, like what the fuck? That's insane.
I was like, OP for sure.
Yeah.
And it's
being like bitched into being a slave for the Scar King from Pain.
And yeah, how did it get down there in the first place? And how did he like? How did any of this happen,
dude? Every setup they put in this movie raises 5 more questions that never get answered. And that is a huge problem. It just makes it worse and worse. I wish they would cut the explanations back and just give me the dumbest, loosest explanation. It could have just been, you get rid of the frost monster. There is a race of apes. They want to take over humanity. They have been trapped there. They want to get out. You do not have to explain anything else. You can just leave it at that. And it will be stupid and I might want more, but at least I'm not confused. And there's not that many plot holes in that instance, but they just keep over explaining to the point where it just does not make sense, and it's bad. And I just want them to cut those scenes out and just skip to the monster fights because I just want to watch the monsters fight at this point. It's the only redeeming quality these movies have left is how cool the monster fights are, and they weren't even good. So tragic.
Last one was okay. The rest of them, yeah.
They barely.
The suplex was odd, but I thought the pyramid sequence was pretty cool.
It was interesting. I didn't like that Kong showed up at the pyramids and Godzilla was all the way in, what was it, Gibraltar or something, or Barcelona? Oh. He's at like the Rock of Gibraltar and they're yelling at each other, but they are thousands of miles apart. They're on the opposite sides of Africa yelling at each other. And it's like, could you not have put them like a little closer to make it make sense? It makes it look like they're yelling at you, like they can see each other. And they can't. They are thousands of miles apart. No matter how big you are not seeing each other from that distance.
And it is, it's the name of the game. These movies just get more and more outlandish. And they're remaining successful, so movies are going to continue to be made in this manner. It'll be interesting to see the direction that they go. Who they cast to be ridiculous people, you know, is pseudo Tom Cruise going to make another entrance?
Probably.
Do
you think with the next, I'm sure they're going to make another installment. Will you be there to watch it in theaters? You think?
I don't know if I'm going to watch another Godzilla X Kong movie.
You think you're done with it? Because unless Ryan shoehorns me into watching it for the show, I probably won't watch it.
Yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't. Of the 5 that have happened, mm-hmm. like the way that I would rank them is probably easier to go bottom to top. So This one that just happened
is the worst.
It's okay. The worst for sure. I would probably then say Godzilla, probably the first Godzilla versus Kong. I think that the first 4 are significantly better than the 5th one.
Yeah.
I just, like, and the Mechagodzilla stuff was cool, like, to see, but it was just, like, the same sort of characters and the same sort of silliness. After that is the first Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kong Skull Island. I really enjoyed Kong Skull Island.
Me too.
I thought that those characters were had a little bit more depth to them. And also I thought it containing the environment just a little bit more, made it more, I don't know. Like not only was the setting more contained, but it contained the plot a little bit more.
Yeah.
And didn't make it so, sort of extensive.
It felt very controlled. Felt very thought out and contained.
I put it as my favorite if it weren't for Godzilla. Like Godzilla is my favorite mm-hmm. bar none. So King of the Monsters is probably my favorite.
Interesting.
It's certainly not the best movie, and the plot line is stupid and the acting is awful. And, mm-hmm. But I think it's funny. I think it's camp. I loved them flying in that giant thing and the Rodan spinning and smiling at the people before eating them. And like, I'm just like, this is so ridiculous. But that's what I was missing in this movie is we replaced these like clever, campy destruction scenes with like all the apes laughing at King Kong because he's got a cavity. Like,
yeah. This one's pretty bad. Yeah. If I had to rank them, I would say New Empire at the bottom. It was just abysmal. And then King of Monsters, just because I just have very little memory of that movie outside of the monsters that appear in it, mm-hmm. which were obviously the best part of it. But like the human story that they put in there was below subpar. It was one of the worst things I've ever been a part of, and I did not enjoy it. And then I put Godzilla vs. Kong just because I enjoyed the monster fights they had and then the way they went about shooting it and the Mechagodzilla at the end. I think it definitely capitalized on a lot of good Godzilla tropes and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then I would say the 2014 Godzilla just because I think it shot beautifully. And I think there's a lot of cool stuff they do with building the tension with Godzilla. And he just feels like a more realized version of Godzilla than any other version. Mm-hmm. And then I would say Kong Skull Island just because I think Kong Skull Island is just so cool. I enjoy watching it thoroughly more than any of these other movies. I just think it's so much fun to watch. And Samuel L. Jackson's fantastic in that movie. I just love him so much.
And I do agree with you that the way that Godzilla is realized in the original movie is probably the best realization. Mm-hmm. I just think that he should have been in it more.
I can see that, yeah.
Like, they could have put him in. But, like, the scene at the airport where it's just his leg. Like, I think his mm-hmm. his sort of foreboding, ominous, terrifying, like that was capitalized a lot more. That's so much scarier to me is, like, just, like, being at from human perspective in an airport seeing just a foot then like watching Godzilla fucking jog.
Yeah, seeing him like slam into buildings like they're nothing is not as exhilarating as being on the ground and looking up and seeing how massive he is and then knocking buildings down from that perspective. Mm-hmm. It's certainly much more intense and much more harrowing because we always see things from our perspective as people. It's more scary to see things from how we would see it. We are not in the air in a helicopter with crazy camera angles checking out this monster fight. It's just not how we... So it just doesn't feel as real, and it doesn't feel as exciting, That's just the way it is. So how many great ape toothaches would you rate this movie out of five?
Great ape what?
Toothaches.
Great ape toothaches.
Out of five great ape toothaches, how would you rate? Half a star? Half a great ape toothache? I gave it one, and then Ryan gave it 1.5. Mm-hmm. I think a half star is the lowest rating we've had on the show so far. From anybody.
A one, I would consider
like Five Nights at Freddy's or something.
I've never seen that. You could round up if you wanted to. One star. Just
basically, no, go with a half. We've never had a half star before.
It's basically impressive. Basically just, it's certainly the worst monster movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous, but like not in a good way. It's ludicrous in like, I'm wasting my time. This is ridiculous kind of way.
Yeah.
And when I think that I'm wasting my time, that is when I'm like, okay, half a star.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was just it committed the worst sin that a movie could, especially an action movie, which is being boring.
The last half star movie that I watched was, the one that was released on Netflix in the wintertime. I forget what it was even called, but it was like, there's that scene where there's that woman that shows up to the guy in the car and she's speaking Spanish and he doesn't help her. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it like a horror movie?
No, it's a thriller. It's about like technological warfare. Nobody really knows what's going on. Airplanes are falling out of the sky.
Oh, Ryan watched this movie. Yes. I know what you're talking about.
It was awful.
Hang on. I know what this is. Give me one second. I'll figure it out. I remember this. It has Ethan Hawke in it, right? I can look this up. Because he talked about it on the show, and he talked about sort of liking it to an extent. Leave the World Behind.
Yeah.
He talked about sort of enjoying parts of it, but not as much as he was hoping he would. giving that one a half star.
Oh, it was. You need to watch it. I think half stars are important to watch, but hopefully, if there's another installment of any either Kong or Godzilla or both of them together, we see either like more simplified plot lines that require less explanation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that we can watch more of what we freaking came to watch,
which is the monster fights.
And actually, that's pretty much it.
That's all we need. Yeah, it's just a simpler plot and better fights. That's all it takes.
Simpler,
and that's like the easiest thing you could do is just trim back the plot, which is very, very easy, and give us really, really cool fights where you put the monsters in actual challenges. Like even Kong fighting the Scar King where he gets his ass whooped. I wasn't actually that worried about Kong. His he gets nerve damage in his hand and then he walks away. And it looks like he's about to die, but you're like, he didn't actually fight. He didn't get his ass whooped that hard. If they had the Scar King like beating him down and he was on the verge of death, that would have been exciting, but he doesn't get close.
And they need to shoot them. Like, we need to... Where's the cinematography?
Oh, you know dude, what I mean? It was really bad, this movie. It looked horrible.
Bring that back. Yeah. Emphasize that, you know?
Like, absolutely.
Put us on those...
Because the sound quality is still pretty good. Like, they're hitting a good stride with how it sounds and whatnot. I just think they need to incorporate better score. Like, I think the Junkie XL score in Godzilla vs. Kong is fantastic. So if they incorporate a better score, I mean, it'll be fine. And the sound is already pretty good. It's just, it looks terrible. It's shot so horribly, and I think it's because they're trying to mesh those real world elements with the CGI, and they're just not doing a good job of doing it. Because the CGI, the budget stretched so thin that it's not coming out looking very good, and so they're making the cinematography look worse intentionally to match it better. So it seems like one cohesive image, but it just looked bad.
Yeah.
It just looks bad through and through, which sucks. Anyway, half star for you, 1 star for me, 1.5 stars for Ryan. Overall, Godzilla, Kong, The New Empire, terrible movie. Really, really bad. Worst entry in the MonsterVerse so far. Very, very sad. Very abysmal. Don't go see it. Go watch it on like a streaming service whenever it gets put on, probably Max. Don't go to the theaters. Don't bother watching it. Go watch a different movie in theaters. Watch Monkey Man or watch, what else is out right now? Watch Dune 2. Watch Kung Fu Panda 4. You know, something.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 4, but I would rather money go to DreamWorks than to Warner Brothers for this movie.
Because I don't want Baby Kong is not worth it, y'all.
It's not. Absolutely not. But Ezra, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love talking about monsters and destruction.
This was your first time on the show?
I think so.
Oh, exciting. This is exciting. We love having first-time guests.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. We'll have to bring you on the next time we talk about any kind of monster movie or...
Monster, music, gay.
Yeah.
Any of those.
Any of those.
Did you do something about Maestro?
We talked about Maestro briefly in a grab bag review at some point. We did not enjoy Maestro.
I also didn't really enjoy Maestro. Yeah. But
as someone who has extensive conducting experience,
yeah,
what are your thoughts on Bradley Cooper's conducting in the movie?
His portrayal of Leonard Bernstein, like conducting music, is incredible.
It's, okay.
I mean, he does that extremely well. Where that movie falls short is like he was such an interesting figure, mm-hmm. and an important figure in music and conducting and composition and education. And to just boil it down to like, we'll make this movie about like a drama of his relationship with his wife, which is a part of who he was. Mm-hmm. But certainly if you're going to make a movie about him, should not be the only part.
Yeah. I felt let down with how little I saw him in his musical experience. Like I felt I did not understand,
you know, like Tar
is a great movie.
And that's a fake person.
Yeah, that's a really good fake.
Like you learn more about Lydia Tarr and the music that she does and how like and the dynamics of power and all of that stuff like
and how problematic she is. Like you learn everything warts and all about this character, and it's not even a real biopic.
Yeah, and I mean Leonard Bernstein wasn't nearly as problematic to my knowledge of when it comes to like abusing power in that way, but like. He was a real person that like
they had problems, and you could they certainly did talk about a lot of his problems, but they did not emphasize how that relationship worked with him in a working setting. Like he just seemed like a god who could do anything in a conducting world, and then just had personal problems in his life. And I'm sure he had many professional struggles that I would have been very interested to learn about, and would have loved to see his his experience in a musical setting, but it was mostly just a drama about his personal life.
Yeah. So any movies that are coming out in the future, I don't know.
Furiosa is coming out soon. That's going to be exciting.
Mad Max is going to be, that's my, the Mad Max Fury Road is one of my favorites.
That's what I'm saying.
And so I'm, and who is?
It's Anya Taylor-Joy. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
With Chris Hemsworth. I think he looks good in the movie. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good. Hold on, hope. I think it'll be good.
That'll be fine. Anything else that's coming out?
Have you seen Dune 2 yet?
I haven't. I need to be able to get through the first one first.
It's a struggle, let me tell you.
I've watched it twice, and I've never been able to get through it all.
It's rough. Dune 1 is a rough watch, but Dune 2, fantastic. I stand by Dune 2. Dune 1's a bit rough.
Great worms. Well,
that's it. That's the show. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Nice place.
Thank you. Thank you. New place. Very nice. That's all the time we have. If you'd like to give your thoughts on the show, you can email us at theboxofficeshowpod@gmail.com.
Our main title theme for the show is Sundown by Joseph McDade.
And if you like the show, please give us 5 stars on whatever podcast app you're listening to. And be sure to tune in next week. Have a great rest of your day.